The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning actually is two different stories. They follow back to back, but they are two different stories. The first story is about Jesus going back to his own hometown and the people there rejected him. They still saw him as the little boy who grew up in town, and they knew, they went to school with him, they had the same education, they went to the same place of worship with him, and now as he left and then comes back as an adult and has all these wonderful things to teach and to preach and to say and do, they reject him. They still remember him as the little kid who grew up there. But that rejection does not slow Jesus down. It doesn't stop him. It says here that even though the people there rejected him, there were still that few that did not, and they came to him for healing. He laid his hands upon them, and they were cured. And then that moves us into this next story, because even though Jesus was rejected in his own hometown, that was not going to stop his mission. That was not going to stop the reason why he was here and what his purpose in life was, which was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to save the world. Jesus continued on with his mission. As a matter of fact, it didn't slow him down, it didn't stop him. He actually expanded it, because here now, he's starting to send out his disciples. Jesus has trained them well enough that it's time for them to experience some of the fun that he himself is having. To be able to go out and actually do the ministry. I'm sure they were itching to get out there and go do something. They've seen Jesus do it. They've seen the results that Jesus had. They were ready to go. And Jesus saw that they too were ready to go. And so he starts to send them out to do the ministry. To go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. For them to teach, but also then to cure, to heal, to bring words of comfort, to bring words of peace. Now, one of the key things that the disciples went out and did, or one of this whole key things of them going out and proclaiming the kingdom of God is near, is this line here in verse 12. So they went out and they proclaimed that all should repent. Repent is one of those words that we just don't use a whole lot in our normal everyday language unless we're kind of joking about it, because it sounds so Old Testament, it sounds so rigid, it's just one of those words that we just don't really pay a whole lot of attention to. And when we think of repent, we think of saying, oh, I'm sorry, but that's really not repentance. With repentance, there's a whole process to it. It's a very deep word, very deep process of what goes on with repentance. Repent actually means to turn around, to change directions, to make a U-turn, to go the opposite way that you had been traveling in the first place. To repent, turn around from where you're going. A Sunday school teacher asked his young students, what must one do to receive the forgiveness of sins? And one little boy in the Sunday school class answered the question, well, the first thing you got to do is sin. An obvious answer. Yes, to have forgiveness of sins, you do need to sin. Well, that's the easy part of this repentance process. Sinning is going in the wrong direction. We want to turn around and go back the other way. But it's close to the truth, because we have to recognize that we do sin. We recognize the sins that we have done. Now, on Sunday mornings, we begin our service with a confession. This morning, we have said, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. That is confessing our sins. And that's a part of repentance. It's recognizing that we ourselves are sinners. But repentance goes even deeper than that. It's actually looking at the sins that we have done. If you find a quiet spot and you think about what you have done this day, of what sins have you committed, what would you come up with? A lot of people don't like to do that. We don't like to admit that we have made mistakes. We don't like to admit that we have done wrong. We don't like to say, I have sinned. I am in the wrong. And particularly with specific sins that we have done. We don't like to look at that. We'll come up with all sorts of excuses, all the way from the devil made me do it to if it feels good, it can't be sin, can it? Or it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault, or they're a worse sinner than I am. We come up with all sorts of excuses. We don't want to admit that we've wrong. We don't want to admit that we've sinned. We don't want to admit that we've made a bad choice in what we have done, the wrong choice in what we have done. We don't want to admit that we have gone against God. And so it's an important part of repentance to actually look and see, yes, I have. I have done wrong. One thing that can help us in going through this and figuring out what have I done wrong is to look at Luther's Small Catechism in the explanation of the Ten Commandments. Because in that explanation of the Ten Commandments, Martin Luther actually spells out, what's it mean not to kill? What's it mean not to commit adultery? What's it mean to honor your parents? What's it mean to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? That's in that explanation. But then also, too, in the explanation is positive reflections as well on those Ten Commandments of how I should keep the Ten Commandments. And so if you go through the Ten Commandments and Luther's explanation to those, and you think, did I do these things today? Did I not do those things today? It helps us to reflect on where our life is and how we measure up. And if we look at that, we don't measure up too well. Each and every one of us has sinned. And more than likely, we have broken every single one of those commandments every single day, if you look at that. And so it's important to recognize that we are sinners. It's important to recognize the sins that we have done, because that leads to the next point in repentance. What happens in repentance, of this process of repentance? Because when you see how much of a sinner you actually are, It brings that sinking feeling on. It brings on that guilt. It brings on the shame. Now, these are words that we don't like these days. We don't like guilt. We don't like shame. We don't like to be sunk down low. We don't like to be knocked down low. But it's only if we actually realize what we have done, of how we have gone against God. If we make it to that point where we do feel guilt, we do feel that shame, then we are ready to hear the words of Christ. Your sins are forgiven. That is when that is good news. That's when we hear that joy or feel that joy that comes with hearing that God is willing to accept us with all of our sins, with all of our troubles, with all of our problems, with all the warts that we have. And that's when we finally realize that grace of God. Your sins are forgiven. You are mine. God calls us His own children and is willing to claim us, to raise us back up. Also, too, when we feel that guilt, that remorse, that shame that comes from sinning, and we realize the grace of God that God is offering to us, it makes us want to turn around. And we finally get to the actual part of repentance, of turning around, changing our lives, making those changes that are important to our lives so we no longer have that temptation to sin, to improve what's going on in our life, to give us that confidence of faith that, yes, now I have the freedom. I have freedom in Christ to be a part, to be one of His followers, which leads us back to those disciples then. They had heard these words of Jesus. You are forgiven, or your sins are forgiven. Your diseases are cured. Your demons are chased out. The disciples wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to be a part of that ministry, to go out and do the same, to proclaim that good news. And that message started with, repent, change your ways. God's grace is here for us as well, too. It always amazes me that this story has hung around for this long. That these scripture passages have hung around for this long because they just simply get passed from generation to generation to generation. It's that Holy Spirit working with each group of people who are here at this particular time. Right now, it's our turn. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are the ones here who are passing on that story once more. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change your ways. Turn back to God. Listen to those words of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your diseases are healed. Your demons are chased out. God's grace is here for us. And He calls us to come, follow Him, be one of His disciples. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.